are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
I think you just censored me. I just went on a five-second Tourette syndrome-like rant.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
I just wish, I was going to do an accent, but now that I know Darius is putting one on, I'm not going to do it.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Yeah, it's taken me years of practice to perfect this accent, so I don't want anybody shoehorning into my territory.
Now, what, is it Australian or is it British?
It's British, yeah.
British, damn. I'm sorry.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I'm Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Darius Austin. Darius, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing well, man. Looking forward to talking some baseball and some of these ridiculous hot starts we've had.
Yeah, we're going to talk some hot starts and then some cold ones as well. Tried to put maybe some deeper league players or guys that maybe should be cut on the list today. So definitely looking forward to that. And joining us today is a special guest. It is Rudy Gamble of Razzball.com. Rudy, thank you for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I just wish, I was going to do an accent, but now that I know Darius is putting one on, I'm not going to do it.
He does a very good job at putting on that accent.
I mean, you have one person doing it. It's kind of like this nice little wrinkle. It's like Graham Lloyd ran into the building, but you have too many and then people are like, wait, did I get on the wrong podcast?
Yeah, it's taken me years of practice to perfect this accent, so I don't want anybody shoehorning into my territory.
Now, what, is it Australian or is it British?
It's British, yeah.
British, damn. I'm sorry. If you're going to get it wrong, you really want to get it wrong the opposite way.
I can't do an Australian accent. I have just about got the hang of the difference between American and Canadian these days.
I would actually like to hear you attempt a British or an Australian accent before we move on, Darius.
I suppose the standard phrase we would use is "g'day, mate."
That's actually pretty good. So I will move on from that. Rudy, why don't you tell people who might not know who you are, kind of what you do over at Razzball, and then where you can reach on social media.
Yeah, so you can reach me at Rudy Gamble. I'm the co-founder and kind of the more silent of the two people over on the Razzball side. Gray's the louder one. So while we have a pretty avid community and quite sarcastic tone on things, but I'm the guy behind the tools. So I focus on our daily and weekly projections for both DFS and for standard. So you could find, so I'm behind the tools. If you have questions on that stuff, tweet me, reach me at rudy@razzball.com, or just post in the comments.
Nice. Well, we'll definitely do that. I love what you guys do over at Razzball. It's somewhat in the same vein of what we do at Friends of Fantasy Benefits in terms of it is not necessarily always safe for work, but it's entertaining, and you guys do a great job. Love your writers over there.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
Let's jump into our list of players that we're going to discuss today. We'll start out with someone who is extremely hot. And I mean, so hot that the other day I was looking and a day or two ago, and Ryan Zimmerman was leading Major League Baseball in WRC+. Rudy, is this sustainable at all, or are we all doomed to be disappointed?
I'd say doomed to be disappointed given, Zimmerman's like 32 or so, I think. And it's rare for a guy to kind of just change who he is. I think Zimmerman is one that's been streaky at times. I want to say 2 years ago or so, he had a massive like 2 month stretch. And I think people forget that it's like there's always streaks like this. But when they happen in April, we remember them a lot more. To date, he's been like ridiculous. I have him as the equivalent of a $60 player. you know, I look at him rest of the season. Right now we have him as like a $6 player, which sounds like, oh, $6, that's like garbage. That means he's more than, you know, he's a solid corner man in a 12-team shallow league, has more value in other leagues, but everyone does. So, you know, I mean, I see him as like, he's a decent power bat. He's, you know, mediocre on ratios. You know, I love that lineup. So, you know, counting stats are probably a little better than they normally would be. So I think, you know, if someone's willing to basically pay what would be a starting first baseman's price on him, I dump him. If not, you know, ride it out as your corner man. And the reality is I put a 50% chance on waivers by the dog days.
All right. Darius, what are your thoughts on Ryan Zimmerman?
Yeah, this is a really interesting start to me. I know he and Daniel Murphy have talked about how he's adjusted his approach to hit some more fly balls over the offseason. It certainly seems to be working right now. But as Rudy mentioned, he has always been kind of a streaky guy. I don't think he's quite hit this peak in the last few years, but he's certainly had periods where he's looked like sort of the Ryan Zimmerman of 2009 and 10, and then periods where he's completely unusable. And I think the thing that we have to remember on that front is that he has not been a healthy guy for quite some time now. 2013 was the last time he even got to 500 plate appearances. And so just because he's healthy now and hitting a ton of home runs now, we've got to remember that the chances he keeps us up for the whole season are pretty slim, especially a guy who's going to be 33 later this year. So I think while the streak is hot and he's hitting like he is, because I think the power is legit, the way he's hitting the ball, then you can ride it or definitely try and trade him for somebody who buys this for the full season. But I think expecting Ryan Zimmerman to be this kind of player or even close to this kind of player for the whole year is probably a bit of a fool's errand.
And I think you have to kind of just ride him for the whole season, because I honestly don't believe that anybody's going to give you trade value well enough that really makes it worth it. I just don't see anybody trading a top 12 first baseman for Ryan Zimmerman, because I think everybody will thinks he's going to fall off. So I think you just ride it out as long as it goes. And, you know, maybe it goes another month. Maybe he can stay healthy, and at worst case scenario, he's obviously not going to hit 419 the rest of the way, considering. I just find this really interesting. He has a 452 BABIP and a 452 ISO. So I just keep looking at that, and it just keeps drawing my attention. I do think the power is legitimate, but he's not going to hit 40 home runs. You know, he's not going to probably get to 500 plate appearances this year, because like you mentioned, Darius, he hasn't done that since 2013, and he has other seasons sprinkled in even earlier in his career where he had injury issues. So obviously he's not going to get that many plate appearances, and if it does, it's not going to come at the nice rates. I would project he probably gets another 15 home runs, but that puts him up to 26 for the year. Like Rudy mentioned, he will have nice counting stats as long as he stays in the lineup, because the team is so good all around him. So, I mean, I think he's a guy that you can ride the rest of the way as a nice corner option, and just bank the production you've already gotten, and be pretty happy with it. But, I mean, you could try to sell him right now. I just don't. I think you're going to want a hell of a lot more than anybody else in your league is going to be willing to pay.
Yeah, is it always the truth with all these like buy and sell things?
Mm-hmm.
It feels like, you know, like 95% of us are on like one side. But like, hey, if there's that 5% person.
Well, and I mean, I think there are cases in which, like, I mean, I've heard cases of people like selling Eric Thames for, you know, E5 or for Corey Kluber and things like that. And I just don't have any of those people in my leagues. So it's hard for me to really buy it and believe it, but I mean, I keep hearing people are doing it. I just know I wouldn't be on the opposite end of that spectrum.
it's aliases of like of writers that want to say that people do that. So it's just like, it's like, hey, this person, I don't know who it is, they made that trade. So
you're saying, you know, it's Saul Poorer?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly, and Pat Cianowski.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. No, I, yeah.
Jason. Yeah.
Yeah, that's Saul Porter. He's a tricky one. So, I mean, I can't imagine you get commensurate value for him. You know, like the one guy that I was saying, like that I really felt you probably still could like buy low on, because I think you could, if you wanted to, you might be able to buy low on Ryan Zimmerman, because I doubt his owner even feels, buy high on is Ryan Zimmerman if you wanted to. I just don't know how easy it is to move him. Aaron Judge is one of those guys where I was comfortable buying high on, because I feel like he has a real shot to keep, not the level of production he's got going, but you know, somewhat close to it for an entire season. But I think the two home run day yesterday may have actually just put that final nail in its coffin. Let's move on to another guy who has been fantastic in this short season so far. Dallas Keuchel is pitching like it is 2015. Darius, is this the kind of the rebirth of the Cy Young, or is it just a flash in the pan?
I think he looks a lot better. I think he does look much closer to that 2015 form. Your colleague, actually, Travis Sorcik, wrote an excellent piece up on Fangraphs yesterday about how he's living outside the zone more than ever now. And at some point, you just feel like hitters have got to adjust to this. He can't keep pitching outside of the zone this often and still put up these kind of numbers. And certainly we should note that he has a 98.7% strand rate at the moment, which is definitely unsustainable. So I think this is going to be a season much closer to 2015 than last year was, and he definitely did get unlucky last year. But if you can get anybody to look at that 1.21 ERA and say this is the Cy Young winner from 2 years ago and time to buy now and sell him, I think I would, because I think there's going to be some regression here. And while I think he definitely is looking better, I don't think he's going to produce anything close to this the way going forward.
Rudy, what are your thoughts on Dallas Keuchel?
Yeah, no, I mean, I think he's a buy target because we know he's gonna, we know what he has is unsustainable, and the fact that his K rate hasn't been dominant, we know Keuchel's got a bit of a ceiling. Yes, he won a Cy Young, but he's not going to be Chris Sale, right? Mm-hmm. So, but the reality is he's probably one of the, when healthy, he probably squeezes out as much as possible out of his skill set as anyone. Kind of think more in the Glavin mold. He's throwing a ton of ground balls right now. You look at his FIP, his BABIP, everything's due for regression. But what I see is, his Cy Young, everything kind of went well. I think he was about a half run better than his FIP. I see him as someone that could definitely get, near three ERA, won't kill you in strikeouts, will be positive on ratio. And if someone's looking to kind of trade high, try to think they're conning you, this is an opportunity to, I'd see him as a solid top 20 starter right now, especially as there's been quite the attrition right now. If you look back to the preseason, some of the guys up at the top.
Yeah, I mean, I think especially if like you're in AL only, he might actually be an interesting guy to go buy high on. I don't know if I am as high on him as you are. I think there's a little bit more regression coming, but I agree with you. I don't think it's going to go back that far, and I think maybe some people are waiting for the bottom to fall out. What Darius mentioned in terms of him living outside the zone is something that I think we mentioned a couple weeks ago, and I think he just continues to do it, and I don't think it's sustainable, but I don't think he's a smart pitcher. He knows what he's doing. He appears healthy, which I think was a big issue last year.
Definitely.
He was not healthy at all. I think Keuchel, I think at the end of the year, he's got, a 3.30 ERA with enough strikeouts that make you okay with what he's doing. His swing and strike rate is the best of his career. So, I mean, I think he could, be high sevens, low eights, K per nine. And while that's not amazing, considering what you paid for this year, you're not hurting too much. I think he is a top 30 starter rest of the way. Let's move on and talk about Chris Owings, who is one of those guys that I think people within the industry either love or hate. So, Rudy, where are you at on Chris Owings?
I guess if put between those two, I'm more on the hate side. I think it's not so much I ever got really burned by him. I'm sure I've had him, but maybe 2 years ago. I mean, I'm looking at his steamer projections. I mean, I've got him as, you know, a sub-owned player in like a 12-team format, even basically borderline for 15-team. Liking the way that they're running right now in Arizona. I'm just not buying that all of a sudden he's now figured it out. I mean, because he's had a couple years where he struggled. I'm just not really buying. I see him as like a decent player, but not basically a top 12-ish second baseman or shortstop.
Darius, where are you at on Chris Owings?
Yeah, I'm kind of interested, actually. I think he's proven that he's a really good base stealer. He's been 55 for 63 in his major league career, which is obviously an incredibly high success rate. And as Rudy mentioned, that they do seem to be running a lot in Arizona at the moment, so I think that can keep up. They're also using him first or second in the lineup sometimes, and they're playing him all over the field. He's played second, short, and the outfield this year, so I think you're getting some nice positional eligibility if he wasn't already eligible in your league. And I think he has made some changes. I think he's laid off some first pitches a few more times this year, and he's getting ahead in the count more often. So I'd like to see that hold and keep his walks up a little bit, because they are up at the moment. And I think looking at his heat maps, it seems like pitchers are treating him with the kind of respect you get from guys with a little bit more power than they have done in the past. They're not just pumping it down the middle. So I think that's kind of interesting as well. So, yeah, I would certainly agree that I don't think he's a top 10 second baseman or shortstop, but I think he can be a pretty useful utility guy. You can kind of plug in everywhere and get you a pretty good amount of steals as well.
Yeah, I don't even know. Does he still have multi-positional eligibility in leagues? I can't even remember if he does or not.
Yeah, I have him as shortstop outfield.
Okay, well, that's, you know, that's got some value, though. I think most people probably stick him in middle or at short. I don't know. I don't know really what to make of him. I like some of the changes that he's made, but I don't know that the power is going to hold. Like, I don't think this is a guy who, hits another 4 or 5 home runs in a month the rest of the way. I think we're lucky if he hits another 5 home runs rest of the season. But the stolen bases are legitimate. I mean, last time I checked the team leaderboards, Arizona was far and away stealing the most amount of bases this year. So the drop or the suspected drop in stolen bases with a new manager has not played out at all. Which is a good sign for fantasy owners, because I think that was one of the things I was fearful of, was that maybe a change in philosophy would lead to less pushing on the base paths, and that is not the case so far. So I think he's a guy that probably rests the way, hits 275, and maybe adds another 5 home runs, but could add another 20 stolen bases rest of the way, which in this day and age of kind of a dearth of speed is valuable, and could make him a top 12 shortstop. So that to me in itself is interesting. So I'm not hating on him. I wish he would walk a little bit more, but I think he makes enough contact where he's not going to suffer tremendously from a 5 or 6% walk rate. I think he's a fine player. And one that if he's for some reason still around in your league, which I doubt he is, go ahead and snag him up, because I think at least the speed will be there rest of the way.
Yeah, he has a chance of being the best hitting Owings in Arizona history. he still is number 2 in my book.
Oh, for sure. I mean, anytime a pitcher can rake, he gets an added bump. I'm trying to remember his Micah Owings. That's right. Yeah, I used to love watching him hit,
and I think most hitters enjoyed watching him pitch.
Yes, it was one of those interesting kind of dichotomies where the hitting pitcher was just an awful pitcher. You know, I think of, was it Mike Hampton at the end of his career?
Yeah.
Where he would just crush the ball every time he got up, but he just, in Colorado, he just got crushed. So, let's talk about a pitcher who has emerged this season. And there were some people within the industry that were very high on Charlie Morton. I was not one of them. And so I tend to lean towards, I don't believe that he is going to be very good the rest of the way. Darius, what are your thoughts on Charlie Morton?
Yeah, I was kind of buying in on Morton last year when he sort of came out and it was kind of impressive before he got hurt early on and then sort of missed the rest of the year, really. But the velocity is way, way, way up. He's sitting 95, 96. He's touched 98 and even 99 so far. I think that the swing strike rate has come down a little bit, so I don't think he's fooling quite so many hitters as he was in that brief sample last year, but I think there's something pretty decent here. I think that the fastball can be a little bit straight, but I also think that he can get away with a lot more mistakes than he used to be able to at his old velocities. So while I certainly don't expect him to strike out 10 batters per nine the rest of the way, I think he can be a pretty useful starter, especially in the right matchups. So yeah, I must say I'm kind of interested, and I think certainly that the velocity bump is very real. He's shown that over several starts now, so I think that's something that you can kind of hang your hat on, and combined with his other skills, I think it makes for a pretty interesting pitcher.
Rudy, what are your thoughts on Charlie Morton?
Yeah, I'm buying. I mean, I put him in the similar category to Brandon McCarthy, in that, you know, the big demerit they have is their ability to stay healthy. But they've shown enough when they are healthy right now that to me they're ownable as long as they're, you know, until they're unhealthy, and then, you know, possibly you could drop them. I mean, I'm looking at him on the Streaminator on Razzball, and I've got his next two starts, thankfully, you know, good for him, they're both at home, but against Texas and Atlanta, and I've got them as easy 12-team starts. I got a $19 start on May 3rd, which is, you know, like a SP2. And then even the Atlanta one's pretty good. The biggest driver on Texas is that Texas strikes out a lot. So that adds you some value. So I think you ride Morton. I picked him up for today's start in Texas in two different leagues. So I'm buying. Do I think he'll stay healthy? I probably not. I mean, the velocity increase is always a little bit fishy, you know, in terms of portending injury, not, you know, pharmaceutical or anything like that. So yeah, I'd buy and ride it while you can. And if you don't feel totally comfortable, just sit them on road starts. It's the easiest, kind of an easy way to go on starters you're not so sure on.
Yeah, I'm still not. I'm buying the velocity, and I'm buying that it's real, that it's
going. You buy to be, science.
Yes, I will buy science.
But you buy this radar acronym, mm-hmm, that they keep throwing around. Okay.
Yes, and you know, we've been talking about the fact that some of the guns are running hot. You know, he's up like 4 miles an hour from last year. So I mean, I don't care how hot the gun is. It's going to be just fine.
We use guns here in Texas like all the time.
Exactly.
So
they're
all hot. So it's, I mean, the home start, you can't trust a gun in Houston.
I think that is a very, very good point. And really, you know, that is analysis in fantasy baseball that we've not really gotten before. but I, you know, I mean, it's not, even with the velocity, it's not necessarily like, it's not a fastball that moves, you know, fantastically. It's all of his pitches, while the velocity are up on both, you know, both the fastballs, have negative value in terms of like our what we use over at FanGraphs. I think eventually he's going to get caught up with. I think people are just being blown away right now, and I just don't know if he can do that forever. And I don't know if he can stay healthy, which would be a huge thing. He's never had 180 innings in a professional season. He pitched 136 and a third last year, but last year he pitched 17 innings, and 2015 pitched 129, so 136 between the last two seasons. So I mean, how many innings are you really going to get? I would try to find someone who believes in this kind of mini breakout within your league and see what you could sell him for. Because more than likely, you either got him as like a last round pick or up off of waiver wires. If you want to ride, the streak, you know, like Rudy said, the next start's looking like a really good streaming opportunity. If he's still out there in your, 10 or 12 team league, go ahead and grab him and, ride it for as long as it'll go. But I just have this feeling wheels are going to come off. He's going to start getting hit hard, or missing the zone completely. And we're going to have a problem because people aren't chasing it outside the zone either. So, I'm not buying this. I'm looking to sell if I can. Let's move on to Scott Schebler, who started off the year extremely slow and has picked it up as of late. Rudy, what are your thoughts on Scott Schebler? Rudy, are you on mute?
I'm not. Can you hear me?
I can now. Go ahead.
Okay. Sorry. I think you just censored me. I just went on a 5-second Tourette syndrome like rant. Schebler is kind of a tool, he was a toolsy guy coming out of LA. Right now, I don't think that the speed hasn't shown in the pros. He's got solid power. He's in a good park, but his fundamental. Okay. Oh, sorry. So yeah, what I was saying with this guy is that I think he's a decent cheap power as a lefty who's only going to have value against righty pitchers. Low on average on base. He's in a good home park. I see him as more of a streaming candidate in shallower leagues when he's at home against a righty.
Darius, what are your thoughts on Scott Schebler?
Yeah, I mean, this is a guy who's definitely always had power. He had 27, 28 homer seasons in the minors. He had 12 in just over 300 plate appearances in his previous Major League experience. He's ended up in a good park. I think he's hitting a lot of fly balls, and I think he's hitting them very hard. So I think the power is pretty legit. I think, as Rudy mentioned, that the batting average and the on-base is a bit of a concern. When he's going to hit this many fly balls, I think the BABIP is going to be low. And I think there's the potential, certainly based on his previous sample, that he might have a little bit of an issue against lefties. He certainly did last year. And we're still talking very small sample here, so we don't know. But if it turns out that that's the case, then you never know if the Reds are going to platoon him. But for a guy you can get for nothing or that you already have got for nothing, I think there's a pretty legitimate amount of power here. And certainly, yeah, at home, as Rudy said, I think he's a pretty interesting guy to start against the right pitchers.
Yeah, another guy I'm just not buying in on. I mean, I think what Darius said is true in terms of the power is legitimate. And so if that's what you're looking for, could be fine. And the Reds have nobody on that roster right now that is going to necessarily replace him, even if he struggles a little bit. I think they'll give him run, even if he goes through some downswings. I think in deeper formats, if he's still out there, you can go ahead and snatch him up and use him for now, but just be kind of wary that the bottom may come out at some point, and you may be looking at it like kind of an empty power guy, especially if they do start to sell off pieces around him. I don't know what the counting stats will look like if guys in that lineup that are a little bit older start getting moved, and Duvall or Cozart, someone like people like that. So I'm not super interested in Schebler. Maybe he's a DFS option right now while he's hot, so that's kind of probably my best use for him. All right, let's talk about Robert Gieselman, who was the darling of a lot of people, including myself, coming into the season. It has not gone well, to say the least. So, Darius, what are your thoughts on Gieselman rest of the way? Is he droppable in pretty much all formats?
I think he's getting close, yeah. He just doesn't look very good. He's not missing any bats. I watched some of his starts earlier, and it looks like he's missing his spots by a lot. I don't think the control or the command is there. And I don't think hitters are really buying his secondary stuff either. There's a lot less swing and miss there, and there's less separation on his change between that and his fastball as well. The other thing is he's got quite a nice ground ball rate, but when you've got Asdrubal Cabrera and Jose Reyes on your infield, I'm not sure that's something that you really want to have, because I don't think they're the best guys in terms of range. So, yeah, I'd certainly be fine dropping him in most leagues unless it was extremely deep, because I think he's got quite a few issues, and I don't see anything coming relatively soon that's going to get him out of this. So I think there might be a little bit of a learning curve for him here, and maybe next season we can get him for cheap. But I think this year I'm probably going to be out at least for a couple of months while I see how he goes.
Rudy, what are your thoughts on Robert Gezellman?
He could be useful as a stream at home starts. He definitely doesn't seem to be able to pitch against Atlanta. He's had two pretty mediocre starts against them. But I would, since just about every other Met pitcher's on the DL. I'd see Edison Volquez as I'd say Edison Volquez is almost as a weird comp in that, a cheap home start in a deep league, I'll try Gesellman right now, but definitely some warning signs right now that he's just not dominating as much as you'd want to see or what people hope to see in the preseason.
All right, yeah, I'm. I was high on Gezellman coming into the year, and I unfortunately have taken the brunt of that in a number of leagues, including an NL only league where I can't drop him because there's nothing really left. To the point you were making, Rudy, the Mets have nobody really, or not many guys healthy right now in their rotation. And so I think they have to kind of just keep running him out there. My only fear is I wonder if maybe there is something wrong with him health-wise. I hate to be the guy that blames an organization for not being able to keep guys healthy, but at what point do we look at kind of what has happened in recent years with the Mets and not start to wonder what the hell the training staff there does and the strength and conditioning staff there does. And so I wonder if maybe some of his struggles are health related and we're just not privy to whatever is going on. He's just walking too many guys. His home run per nine rate isn't bad, but his home run fly ball rate isn't great. So he hasn't looked good. The velocity is a little bit down from last year, especially when you subtract the half mile an hour from moving over to TrackMan. He's not getting ahead of batters. There aren't a lot of good things to really grasp onto to think that things are going to get better. So I think in NL only, you have to hold on and just hope for the best. Hope that maybe his ERA comes back down towards his FIP and XFIP. But I think anything smaller than NL only, you could probably cut bait and be okay with that.
Yeah, and I think on that one, I'd say that in those 15 team leagues, I do think if and when he gets to waivers, he might be one of those sneaky dollar picks when he has like a fairly tame home start, and then he's a type that you kind of rotate in and out, and sometimes those guys surprise you. I mean, that's how I viewed Straley coming into the year. And he's kind of been a little more pleasant. And then there's other guys like Nolasco, which you constantly wonder why you have him on your team. But I think I got him starting this week. So we'll see with Nolasco. But, sometimes those guys put together some crazy runs. If Dylan Gee could do it for the Mets a couple years ago, anyone can.
That is true. Let's move on to someone who has started to pick it up as of late. That's Eric Ibar, who's the shortstop in San Diego. And I originally put him on this list because Chuck was making fun of him. And then he went off to hit a home run and steal a couple bags. So, Darius, what are your thoughts on Eric Ibar?
Yeah, I mean, the Padres are so terrible, which I guess works two ways in that I think he's going to get the playing time because, I'm guessing that people behind him right now are like Alan Cordoba, who is a Rule 5 pick who came straight from rookie ball to the majors. I think so. Ibar's playing time is probably pretty safe, even though he's hitting 212 at the moment. And I think, like we saw with Will Myers last year, they're not afraid to let guys run as well. So assuming that he gets to keep hitting first and second a lot, I think he'll get plenty of plate appearances and probably some steal opportunities. And he does seem to be walking a decent amount as well, much more than he ever has previously in his career. I don't know if that's a function of the rest of the offense being quite bad apart from Myers, but certainly something to keep an eye on. So I think he's a pretty bad hitter at this stage in his career, but I think if you're in a very deep league and you need a cheap middle infield option who's going to get playing time, you can depend on that. So I'm not excited, but he's playing and I think he'll keep doing so.
Rudy, what are your thoughts on Eric Ibar?
Yeah, it's hard to get excited. He is kind of what he is. He's not, I mean, even in his prime, he wasn't a great stolen base guy. He was always decent. He hit pretty good average. He got a weird amount of RBIs one or two years because the sociopath would put him hitting fifth or sixth. And yeah, I'm sorry. Ibar just wishes he was there now because he could get to close some games. but yeah, I'd say he's cheap at bats. He's the type of guy that in an NL only league you ideally should have targeted for $1 or $2. Or I'm in an NFBC 50 team, and I don't know where I took Ibar. It had to have been after the 40th round or so, just as insurance. So in that case, great. If he's in your lineup right now, I hope it's because you have injuries.
Yeah, I can't imagine. You may have already seen the best from Eric Ibar this season, and that's not really saying a whole lot. So, I mean, NL only, obviously, because you pretty much just need anybody that's healthy, especially with the amount of injuries we've dealt with this year so far. Stats are stats. Unfortunately, sometimes when you're playing in mono leagues, but I'm not rostering him in really anything deeper than like a 10 team NL only at this point. Let's move on. Talk about Jake Arrieta, who struggled early on in the season. Rudy, is Jake Arrieta going to turn it around?
I mean, I think he'll be. He's certainly ownable. So I mean, I think it's all relative. Do I think he's going to be an ace going the way forward? Probably not in a traditional sense. I don't think he's good. I think he showed some drop off last year in his control, and I just don't. I think if anything, so far his K rate's a little aggressive, or above where I think he's going to be able to sustain. So I look at his stuff and I see I'm looking at his rest of season projection on our site, and it's 3.5 ERA, 1.25 WHIP, a little less than 1K an inning and 3 walks per 9. That's good. I mean, that's definitely SP2, SP3 category. And I'm not seeing enough right now to tell me that it's going to change when I see, right now where his control's at and where, I think the only good thing right now is that he's had some insane BABIP that's due to kind of even out. So he'll get better, but I think picture more an SP2 guy than if he was than an SP1.
Darius, what are your thoughts on Jake Arrieta?
Yeah, I feel a little bit better about him now than I did early on. The velocity has come back up somewhat, and if the guns are still running a bit hot, then most of the rest of it may well be a calibration issue as well. So that's reassured me a bit. And I think he is still displaying those skills of being able to avoid the hard contact. I think the Statcast on Baseball Savant, they've introduced expected WOBA this year, and it's basically right in line with what he's done so far. So I think this is relatively sustainable. I think Rudy's right that the K per 9 is probably going to come down a little bit. And I don't think he's been unlucky on the homers. I think he has just made some mistakes with breaking balls in particular. A couple of sliders and a curveball that he's just left way up in the zone that have been crushed. So I think the command definitely isn't what it was when he had that incredible season in 2015. But I think he'll be fine as a start SP2, which may not be what you paid for him. I know he was going as an ace early in the preseason, but I don't think we need to worry about him being a drop candidate or anything like that. I think he'll still be one of the 15, 20 best pitchers in baseball the rest of the way.
Yeah, I think he's a guy that you might be able to even buy on, because I think some people are really starting to freak out, and I think things will even itself out. I agree with Darius on the fact that I don't think he's going to return to, the 2014, even maybe even the 2016 levels. So you're probably not going to get what you paid for, but it's not like you can sell right now if you own him. But I think I might try to buy low on him and see if I could get maybe a little bit of a discount, because I think, he's probably a 3-5 pitcher with, the strikeout rate is up a little bit. So I think that is a good sign. Yeah, he's not going to be giving up, 1.8 homers per 9. So I think he's a guy that, you know, he needs to get back to getting a few more ground balls, rely on the defense, and get himself out of jams when he gets into them. And I think at the end of the day, you're going to be at least, you know, happy with, you know, the production you've got from him. You know, so don't freak out if you're an owner right now, and, you know, maybe see if the owner in your league is freaking out if you don't own him at the moment. All right, let's talk about Ryan Healy, because Ryan Healy was a guy that I know at least the three regular members on this podcast, on this day's podcast, were pretty psyched on Ryan Healy coming into the year, and he has not really delivered what we expected him to. So, Darius, I know you were psyched on him probably the most out of all of us. So what are your thoughts on Ryan Healy?
Yeah, I've got to say I'm pretty disappointed so far. He doesn't look the same at the plate. He's still showing some power. We've got 7 doubles and 3 homers so far this year. But I think he's getting pitched away more, and I think he likes to do his damage on the inside. And his pitch selection just doesn't look very good. I've seen quite a few swings that look pretty ill-advised. He looks off balance. And I certainly saw a one A's fan, I think it was on the Athletics Nation blog, who thinks he's actually just standing further away from the plate. Whether he's worried about getting busted inside or not, I'm not sure, but that would explain his issues with getting to pitches on the outside. So I think he's got some things to work through, and I certainly think there are things that he can address, and I think the power is still very good, but at the moment he's striking out too much for what he's giving you, and he doesn't walk a great deal, so if he's not controlling the bat well, then you're in trouble. So I think there may still be a pretty good player in here long term, but at the moment he doesn't look great at the plate, and I wouldn't be bothered by anybody dropping him now if they need to pick up the latest hot thing.
Rudy, what are your thoughts on Ryan Healy?
Yeah, I think I'm on the same page with him. That I mean, he wasn't on my draft radar this year, just based on I had him below where the market was, using kind of some of the steamer stuff that I work with, and he's pretty much a lower tier CI. I am a little wary of any guy that in his second year, particularly if you played like a half year. You know, so it could be something where maybe in the second half he kind of hits another level as he adjusts to the adjustments. But yeah, I'd see him a pretty much a hold player. And in a shallower league, yeah, you've got to be willing to churn your bottom third of players. If there's anything that I'm in complete agreement with Scott Pianowski on, it's that. Yeah, you know, one of the things I took from him a couple of years ago that stuck with me was, you know, in your shallower leagues, you have to, you know, you can't wait on a guy like a Ryan Healy or even like, let's say, even a Ryan Zimmerman. Yeah, you know, if he goes a month and he's just mediocre, you've got to consistently look to churn those guys out and hope to find, you know, a streaky player kind of like what Healy was last year.
Yeah, I agree with that. And I think it's time to kind of cut bait on Healy. In 10, 12, and maybe even 15 team formats, depending on what's available on your waiver wire. I don't know how long. I know the A's suck, and they traditionally, when they suck, will give guys a little bit longer run. But I think they're also a team that wants to move assets and try to help rebuild the farm. And so I think, and once the Super 2 deadline passes here in a few weeks, you're going to be seeing maybe guys like Matt Chapman coming up. And so, you know,
and Barreto.
Yeah. And Barreto. So, I mean, you know, Ryan, or Trevor Plouffe isn't coming out of the lineup. You know that Yonder Alonso isn't coming out of the lineup because those are two guys they are going to try to move here in July. And so if guys start coming up in the next couple weeks, you know, to give guys, you know, long looks to see what their future looks like, you know, especially a guy like Matt Chapman, where there's a lot of questions within, you know, I know within the fantasy industry of who he's going to be. I think Healy is going to lose playing time if he continues to struggle the way he is. And that, to me, is a real sign that you need to move on and try to go find that next, you know, hot hand or guy that can be a mainstay within your lineup, because I don't believe it's going to be him. And it's unfortunate because I have him, I think, in AL-only league or two, where I'm pretty much just stuck until, you know, I can find magic on the waiver wire somewhere. All right, let's talk about, speaking of magic on the waiver wire, Matt Kane is looking a lot more like the Matt Cain of old than the Matt Cain we've gotten used to over the course of the last couple of years. Darius and I are huge Giants fans, so I'm gonna throw it to Rudy first to kind of get a little bit of cold water thrown on us before we get a chance to speak.
Love pitchers in San Francisco, and anyone who's played a deep NFBC format, could look back at my teams and find like three San Francisco guys like Vogelsong, and I think I had Lincecum in his whatever his last year with the Giants was. Love stashing Giant pitchers because it's a great park to pitch in, and so I could still see. Oh, and I had Peavy everywhere last year. So all that said, I mean, like, I think he's kind of a white knuckle pitcher at home. He's not going to like suddenly throw out like 9 Ks or anything. And I wouldn't trust him at all on the road. So, I mean, in a week where he's on a road start, I'd barely start him, and I'd probably sit him on an NL only team. I think that's about as condemning as possible.
yeah, that is pretty condemning. And I have to agree with you 100%. I mean, he's getting away with mistakes too. Cause I mean, I being a Giants fan living in the San Francisco Bay Area, I watch pretty much every single one of their games. And it's just, it hasn't necessarily been that impressive. He just seems to be getting away with things, here and there, and it's going to catch up to him. So, I mean, yeah, I'm okay, against the poor competition at home, because the park in itself will kind of cover up some of the warts. But the Giants aren't going to be very good rest of the way, and, unfortunately for me and for Darius. And so, if you play in wins leagues, the chances you're going to get wins from Matt Cain were already limited by his own upside, and now it's limited by his team's upside. I mean, if you look at his FIP, it's about a run and a half. Yeah, a run and a half over his ERA. I mean, there's some serious regression coming. And I think when it comes, it's going to come hard. And I don't think it's very far away from starting. So enjoy what you've gotten out of Matt Cain. But I'm not picking him up in anything, even really in NL only league. Darius, what are your thoughts on Matt Cain?
To your point, he does have a 90% strand rate. So, I don't think anybody should get too excited about Matt Cain. I will say a couple of things for him. He seems to be going to a sinker a lot more now and cutting down on his four seam, which was not really doing a whole lot for him anyway. They're kind of equal usage now, and it used to be quite a big gap between those two. And he's also been going to the curveball more. So I think those two things have produced his career best ground ball rate. And I think if Brandon Crawford is healthy and you've got Joe Panik there, then that's not a bad thing.
Christian Arroyo's looked nice too defensively.
Yeah, I think Arroyo is a better defender than Nunez. So depending on how the Giants line things up in the infield there, then potentially they could have a pretty good defense as well. So that's nice. And certainly if you've got the ground ball rate and then AT&T to limit the homers, then he can get away with a few good starts at home, I think. But I should point out that he's faced the Padres twice and the Royals in his five starts. So I think that's helped a lot with his ability to get some of the poor contact he's had. And certainly I would not be surprised if there are some pretty ugly looking starts down the line. So, you can sort of ride this and pick and choose your home matchups in a deeper league. But I think hoping that you're going to get a Matt Cain that you can use all year is definitely something that you should probably stay away from.
And I mean, to your point about him using the secondary offerings more and more, it's because his fastball is so bad.
Yeah,
it's not because those pitches are great. It's because the fastball is so bad and it is so hittable. I'm pretty sure I could hit it, and I'm not necessarily or never have been a major league quality hitter. So I don't think there's anything really super encouraging about Matt Cain except for what his ERA looks like at the moment. All right, that is going to wrap us up for this episode. Rudy, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. And just, anyone listening, 3-day free preview on the tools. Go to rasball.com/subscriptions.
Definitely do that because it's great. And then when you check out like things on our website, we have a little link. If you see a player highlighted, it's because there's a link going to the Rasball page, their Rasball player page. So We are definitely fans of Razzball here at Friends of Fantasy Benefits.
Much appreciated. Same back at you.
All right, Rudy, give yourself some plugs real quick, and then again, remind people where they can reach you on social media.
Rudy.com. It's not really social media. At Rudy Gamble on Twitter. You could try to Facebook friend me. I don't check it that often. So I would go for it on Twitter, and yeah, you could look for me on Instagram, but it's probably not going to look like me.
Darius, why don't you tell people what you're working on and where you can be reached?
You can find me on Twitter at DariusA64. I wrote up a little rant I had about the 10-day DL FWFB earlier this week. Probably not what you think it's going to be, but that's worth a read. And like to get people's opinions on that if you've got any thoughts. Also doing some stuff over at Fantasy Pros. I'm going to be doing the monthly exit velocity reports and also pitch usage changes. So I had my first sort of exit velocity risers and fallers come out earlier this week, which included somebody we talked about today, Scott Schebler, who's one of the biggest gainers from last year. And then you can also find me over at BP Wrigleyville, where I wrote up a piece about Ben Zobrist last week, and I will be doing the game recap for the Cubs tomorrow. So check out all of those.
And you can reach me on Twitter at Justin Mason FWFB. Email me or the show, friendsoffantasybenefits@gmail.com. You can read everything I write over at Fangraphs, where I write 4 to 5 times a week, or on friendsoffantasybenefits.com. And you can listen to me coming up very, very soon on the Fantasy Sports Network. We're starting this Thursday, but I don't know if the episode's live or not. So we will definitely be live next week starting Thursdays. It actually just got changed into a 2-hour show. So it is from 8 to 10 p.m. Eastern. Definitely check it out. It's with me, Laura Michaels, and we are going to be talking to a ton of Tout Wars participants because it is the Tout Wars Hour, it should be a ton of fun. You can definitely, if you don't have the Fantasy Sports Network app, which you can get for free in iTunes and Google Play, and you'd rather just listen to it in podcast form, it will be available on iTunes starting next week, probably starting this week. So definitely check that out. All right, that is going to wrap us up for today. For Darius, Reed, and myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic baseball season. Fall.